Okay, morning, everybody. This is the fourth edition of Wisdom and Proverbs. So, as we've already had 3 weeks of it, I guess I'm going to be stating the obvious at times and repeating a few things you've already heard. But I don't apologise for that, because that's not always a bad thing. Today we'll be relating to Proverbs 21 to 30, with some emphasis on being proactive, vigilant and aware, and getting and taking good advice. So, to remind you, the book of James tells us that there are two kinds of wisdom. One kind does not come down from heaven, but is earthly and spiritual and of the devil. It involves envy, selfish ambition, disorder, and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven, in other words, from God, is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. If you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress, you might remember that there is a character called Mr. Worldly Wiseman. He presents the first real temptation for Christian to stray from his righteous path. He tells Christian to ignore the evangelist's advice and that he can shed his burden by going to the town of morality and following the guidance of Mr. Legality and his son. Mr. Worldly Wiseman does not get his wisdom from God. It seems to be more based on being a smart guy and conforming to the mould of society or the world and getting on in life. True wisdom, the good kind, comes from God. And the Bible tells us that it is priceless. You can't put a value on it. For the church to be wise, it needs us to be wise as individuals and collectively. So what is true wisdom and how do we acquire it? As James the Apostle tells us, we can ask God for it, and as with the Holy Spirit and our daily bread, we should keep on asking for it. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. The prerequisite is admitting that you lack wisdom, or at least recognise that you need or want more of it. Experience teaches us that wisdom is good and can be very beneficial to ourselves and can benefit teams, groups of people and nations and so on. It is great to have wise parents, wise bosses, wise leaders, wise government. We all benefit. God was very pleased when Solomon asked for wisdom to rule his nation and make wise judgments. One outstanding example was when he tested out the two mothers by suggesting cutting a baby in half. Not that I'm advocating cutting babies in half. So the implied proverb or wisdom here could be that if you have a problem, try cutting it in half or into smaller or more manageable portions, perhaps. Other variations of this may be to shrink the problem by attacking it from both ends or from every side and angle or angle. Keep it in perspective, simplify it somehow. Yes, we should pray and plan first, but practical application is what many proverbs are all about. It might not be a bad thing if your child asks for a material present, such as a bike, etc. But there is a high probability that he or she will be so delighted with the bike that you might not see a lot of them for hours on end. They might even seem to love the present more than they love you on occasions. But isn't a mum or dad very happy when their child loves to listen to them and learn wisdom from them? So, when we've asked for wisdom, do we just sit back with arms folded and do nothing? Of course not. We can also start reading Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and the rest of the Bible and make a continuous effort to put it into practice when it becomes applicable in various situations in our daily lives. Well, I've read the Bible cover to cover several times. Don't need to read it anymore, do I? Of course I do. If I had a meal last year, can I live on it indefinitely? No, I need to eat regularly. I need my daily bread, spiritual as well as physical. We also acquire wisdom from other people, advisors often, but not always, older, more experienced people, such as our parents, teachers, bosses, and so on, but also from our peers, team members, co-workers, not to mention books and the internet. How blessed we are in some ways compared to previous generations. Proverbs and the Bible in general recommends getting and taking good advice. Proverbs 23 verse 22 says, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." I was fortunate enough to have two very good parents. They didn't bombard me with proverbs, but I learned a huge amount of good and practical stuff from my dad. For example, driving. When we were out in the car, he would highlight good and bad driving, wise and unwise driving. Don't drive too close to the car in front. Slow down and ease up in pressure situations. Anticipate actions of others. Be courteous. Dad taught and advised me about all sorts of other things. Work, studying, dealing with people. In all walks of life, it is important to develop this kind of thinking, which involves looking ahead, seeing or anticipating dodgy situations, being vigilant and aware, and making sensible judgments and adjustments, all recommended by Proverbs. Proverbs 22 verse 3 says, "The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty." As I can be prone to be passive or distracted, I found it helpful to say inwardly to myself, "Awareness, awareness, awareness," and then consciously use my eyes, ears and brain to make sure I'm switched on. I also learned a lot from my mother's example. She didn't always talk a lot, but she worked very hard, cared about others, and was very unselfish. Her behaviour spoke volumes, more than words would have. Proverbs generally tells us how things work out when we do the right things and when we do the wrong things. Yes, we can and do learn from our own experiences, but proverbs and good advice can save us a lot of hassle. Long ago, I used to deliberately try all the wrong ways of doing things to see or learn what would happen. Then I found that even when I wanted to get things right first time, I would fail and keep trying all the wrong options. It would get a bit tiresome. But sometimes there are far better ways. You can learn from other people's mistakes. You can also learn from established truths such as the Bible and Proverbs, which includes a diligent recording of such things and proven truths. We don't need to keep reinventing the wheel. Wisdom says if we consistently observe God's rules and guidance, we can avoid painful consequences. For example, Proverbs 21 verse 9 and Proverbs 25 verse 24 are exactly the same verse. And they say, "Better to live on a corner of the roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife." A quarrelsome wife. Now, this may have been written in a warm climate when roofs were flat, but I'm sure it's still applicable in a colder climate with sloping roofs. Not that I have a quarrelsome wife and have tested it out. I guess it can also apply to quarrelsome husbands. In fact, it has to in this politically correct age. Wisdom begins with listening, discerning, getting and taking good advice. Acquiring it is a lifetime journey. Just like when parents correct their child, God's rebuke is meant to stop, redirect, and set us back on the path he knows is best for us. There we will learn true wisdom. We can follow God at ease on the path he has chosen, or we can risk being the fool that despises God and does things his own way. It's up to us. Proverbs 21 verse 23 says, "To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice." When God told King Saul to wipe out the Amalekites, he compromised the instructions and took plunder instead of obeying clear instructions to destroy their belongings. God rejected him as king. God wants integrity first and foremost, telling the truth, being fair, dealing honestly. I came upon some interesting proverbs which made me ask questions. Proverbs 21 verse 14 says, "A gift given in secret soothes anger, and a bribe concealed in the cloak pacifies great wrath." Further back, Proverbs 17 verse 8 says, "A bribe is like a magic stone in the eyes of the one who gives it. Wherever he turns, he prospers." Interesting, I thought. Does this mean that God condones bribery? A bit like wondering whether he will bless you when, or should I say if, you steal a Bible. I looked into this and found that someone suggested it is more specifically talking about such times of possible distress in which you should not be above calming someone with a gift. Another suggested a baby's dummy or pacifier to stop a tantrum. Well, Exodus 23 verse 8 is clear that bribery is bad. It says, "And you shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the clear-sighted and subverts the cause of those who are in the right." Proverbs 15:27 says as much as well. It says, "Whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household, but he who hates bribes will live." Someone else said the easiest way to reconcile all of this is to say that the verse is descriptive rather than prescriptive. In other words, describing what can happen in these situations rather than suggesting that we do this. On the question of wise or on the subject of wise or questionable behaviour, some of you may have heard of Andre Agassi and Michael Chang. Tennis players, old tennis players, in case you don't know. Well, Agassi, in his book, he literally said this: "Once more I square off against Chang, who's developed a bad habit since we last met." Chang is a born-again Christian. "Every time he beats someone, he points to the sky. He thanks God, credits God for the win, which offends me. That God should take sides in a tennis match. That God should side against me. That God should be in Chang's box feels ludicrous and insulting." I thought to myself, yes, maybe he has a point. I can understand it with team sports, maybe giving God the glory that you're healthy and well and able to do these things. But on a one-on-one, maybe he's got a point. Is this kind of behavior wise? Well, I'll leave you to draw your own conclusions. Proverbs 24, verse 27 says, "Finish your outdoor work and get your fields ready. After that, build your house." Well, my career involved indoor work, but I believe God was saying to me, get established in your career and really good at your job before getting lumbered with a mortgage and so on. I took this seriously and followed it and found that things fell into place later in life. My Christian uncle reminded me that the Bible also says, "Seek the kingdom of heaven first, and all these other things shall be added unto you." A key verse for today is Proverbs 24, verse 6, which says, "For waging war, you need guidance. For victory, many advisors." I believe this is not just about literally about waging war. It is applicable to taking the initiative, overcoming challenges and so on. I found this verse particularly helpful for my job. I worked for a software company and was surrounded by a lot of clever people and used to pick their brains. Because of the diversity and scope of the work involved, people built up years of experience and specialised to acquire specialist in-depth knowledge. No matter how clever you are or think you are, there is absolutely no way you can compete with specialist knowledge and experience. Good advisors warn you of likely pitfalls and dangers. They advise you of clever ways of overcoming challenging problems and dilemmas. It is a privilege to be able to consult experienced and clever and wise people. Also, with God's help, we can weigh up the advice and guidance and apply it effectively as we see fit. Even Moses took advice from his father-in-law Jethro, who saw that Moses was single-handedly judging the problems of vast numbers of people, thereby tiring himself out and also tiring the people who probably had to wait a long time out. He advised him to delegate and select good men to do this. He said there should be rulers over thousands of people, hundreds of people, fifties and tens. Let these rulers judge the people. If there is a difficult or important case, then they can come to you and let you decide what to do, but they can decide the other cases themselves. In this way, these men will share your work with you, and it will be easier for you to lead the people. Proverbs also tells us to bridle our tongue carefully and avoid getting angry too easily, as Jeff clearly explained last week. Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. Proverbs tells us to be diligent and not be lazy. It says the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. The craving of a sluggard will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. Proverbs tells us to pray, plan and be proactive. Seek and apply truth, justice, fairness and good judgment. Mind your own business and don't meddle. Be vigilant for trouble or danger. Listen and learn primarily rather than being too eager to air your own opinions. Keep company with wise and good people and let their good ways and good habits rub off on you. Conversely, do not hang around with evil people or let their evil ways and evil habits rub off on you. Do not be gluttonous, greedy, or selfish. Do not be too hasty to get rich. Care about others and listen to them. Remember that God is in complete control. He gives victory. No one can reverse what God does. Proverbs 21 says, "In the Lord's hand, the king's heart is a stream of water that he channels toward all who please him. There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord." There are many other thought-provoking proverbs with more than a hint of truth or wisdom which are not in the Bible. Some may say that the proverbs in the Bible are outdated and not applicable to modern life, but I hope you can see that they are just as relevant today.